Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Ficast. This is episode number 251. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me from the beautiful, what are you, in Jersey?
No, man, I'm in Delaware. That's where my parents retired.
Gross.
Yeah, I know.
All the way from Delaware. I'm surprised you didn't have to use that dial-up, that old AOL 53-hour shit to call
Pretty
up.
Pretty much. I think it's still horse and buggy around here.
Go to AOL keyword Fitcast to join the discussion after the show.
Wow.
So obviously it's just John and myself today. We're going to be going over some year in review type stuff. But with that being said, you might have noticed a current trend of doing lots of interviews and getting back on that course of doing stuff that is a little bit more one-on-one with people out there in the trenches, you might say. So that is going to be something that I'm trying to continue into 2013. And the first couple guests that we have coming up, one is John Berardi, who is one of those guys that I haven't had on in a couple years. And I don't know, John, maybe you can give me your feelings on this. I wanted to kind of like go back to almost some of the first interviews that I did and kind of redo them and kind of like re-interview these people that I talked to 6 years ago.
That's interesting.
I think it would be kind of interesting. And I even went and looked in the Fitcast episode folder on my computer and like listened to some of those old interviews. I've been listening to them while I'm walking the dog, and just how terrible I think they are looking back on them. just how dumb that I was. I just had no, you come a long way in 6 years, and I think revisiting those with a different mindset might be a good idea.
That's interesting.
Well, it's one of those things. I'm going to be 27 soon, you know. I have a dog. Stuff like that. So that's one we're going to be scheduling soon. I know John is on vacation until early in the new year, but that's one that I have confirmed. I'm sorry, Berardi. I meant John Berardi. Is on vacation. Great. Hope you guys get to hang out. I am interested in kind of seeing who you guys out there would like me to talk to. A lot of the times it's really just like, man, who do I want to talk to today? All right, I'm going to email Lou and Alan and see if they want to, get on the phone for a little bit. Or, you know, same thing with, like, Brad Pilon, who I just, like, was kind of been shooting back and forth. I'm like, yeah, Brad, let's talk again. I got some more questions, and I'm sure we can continue to reignite the intermittent fasting discussion and training around that, because it still seems like people have tons of questions about it, and it's always good to talk to. It's weird. I like to talk to people who are almost research-based, except for Jonathan Fass.
Right.
Which is super weird, because it's almost like I just don't want to hear from John, but if, you know, someone else brings it up, I'm totally cool with it. like I said, if you have requests, you can shoot me a message on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/KevinLarrabee or twitter.com/KevinLarrabee and, you know, shoot me a reply. Let me know who you want to have on the show and why, because a lot of times I get people, like, I get requests for like some guy, and like I just get a name and no one tells me why I should have them on the show. But I'm willing to kind of go outside my circle if that is necessary. Also, one thing that I wanted to mention, I got a lot of people asking about the song that intros the show now. Have you heard the new song, John?
I don't think so.
It's called Party Hard. And you can get it from, you literally just search like party. I'll post a link for it in the show notes, but it's an awesome dance song. You can download it and like purchase it to be used in podcasts and video production, stuff like that. So I did that. So it's going to be in there for a while since I paid for it. And also I've been blogging up a little bit. So if you want to check out thefitcast.com, I have some cool blogs on there, including, the three people that I think you should follow the most on Twitter. And it was a little bit weird setup there where I even included The Rock, who I think is an awesome, I don't really like inspirational quote people. I don't like people who like are always posting inspirational quotes like on Twitter and Facebook and stuff. At some point, I'm just like, I'm overly inspired. I'm so inspired, I'm now despired. So I like The Rock because it's totally despired, man. And I like The Rock because a lot of the times he's just like, yeah, dude, I'm in the gym working my ass off. Here's a picture of the gym, or here's me on the set of the movie working hard. And I think he's just like one of those guys that is super goal. He has such a goal mindset where he just sets a goal, goes and does it. And I think a lot of people can take a lot away. People can take a lot from that, from his stuff on Twitter. So that is that. John, do you have anything to before we go into the discussions?
I have nothing. Let's go to the discussions.
All right. So one of the things that people want us to talk about is do a recap in a couple different ways for 2012 as we go into 2013. And I think we'll just kind of go back and forth about some of the most important things that we learned in regards to, you know, fitness, health, or nutrition for 2012. John, do you want me to start it off?
Yeah, go for it, man.
So and this is probably from March or April of this year. And I did post some blog stuff about it, but for me, the power of getting in lots of raw fruit, like lots of raw vegetables into my diet and almost like mega dosing it in the form of a smoothie. And that's something that, you know, unfortunately, for a couple of months, I kind of fell off the wagon of that. And I saw a lot of my stomach issues come back and it was like, no crap, Kevin. But just going back on to that regimen, these last couple of weeks, been feeling fantastic. Energy levels are a lot better. And I think you can definitely find a happy medium in between, you know, being one of those people that's like hardcore food matters, where you think that you can only have juices in your diet and only raw foods and stuff like that. But trying to slowly implement some of this stuff in there, it might be as easy as getting like a really good greens powder, like Amazing Grass Raw Reserve, which you can get on Amazon or Vitamin Shop or at Whole Foods, is a really great start to get just some really good nutrients into your body. Also, if you want to go full boat, like I said, I wrote a couple of blog posts on the website where I talk about buying a BlendTec, you know, putting the $400 investment into a great blender and then starting to really get in like tons of kale and spinach and berries and using more vegetable, or I should say vegan protein in my diet. And that's one thing that, I've just found to be so great is, God. And again, it's one of those things, again, I look back and I feel so dumb, but, seeing like Jason Ferrugia talk about vegan protein powder. I forget the Warrior protein like years ago, and thinking like it's just some vegan dude talking about vegan protein. Why the hell do I need that? But I've been using that stuff for a while, and I think it tastes great. It's super high quality, and it's worth every penny when it comes to just the benefits that I get out of it, and in the long run, trying to avoid things like colon cancer and stomach issues that run in my family. It's just I would be stupid to not do it. At least, again, make it above probably about 70% of my diet is all raw food, with another 30% wiggle room for stuff like your grilled chicken and your turkeys and stuff like that. But it's been great. John.
Is that? Oh, we're going opposite?
Yeah, I think that's fun.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. I think the first thing that has really affected me this year, and it's not necessarily to plug Strength of Evidence podcast, but the more that I've been really, really looking into evidence, not only the more comfortable I am with evaluating individual studies and things like that, but it just becomes second nature. And as far as health and fitness, I start to look at things that way. Any individual fact or issue itself is only as important or as impactful as understanding overall how you evaluate these things. And just reading so much more this year than I probably have before has really just made me feel very comfortable with that as an overall approach and an overall methodology to constructing the things that I believe in and the things that I don't. So not to say that clearly I wasn't doing that before, because I was, but when you just take the time to say, you know what, I'm going to learn everything that I can about topic A, topic B. I'm not going to just wait for things to come to me. I'm actively researching, actively searching out the information and actively compiling it. It's been very interesting to see the things that we hold for granted and assume, versus when you actually read the information, find out, wow, these are nothing but assumptions. They're things taken out of context. We don't have as much information as we think we do. And that's been really eye-opening. There's been stuff like the idea of Olympic weightlifting. We had the episode before this last one that we released, where we looked at Olympic weightlifting as it applies to athleticism. And before that episode, I would have said, absolutely, there's no question that it helps athletics. And after that episode, I don't think that I can say that. And it's just amazing to recognize just these little details that you hear throughout a career, throughout your education, that you sort of take for granted as being true, and find out that it may not be the case. And I've really enjoyed that process.
John, I think that, as you mentioned that, have you been able to look at the stuff that Nick Tuminello posted that got a lot of reaction last week about squatting like a baby?
I did look at that. Yeah, I did look at that. I probably agree with the majority of what he said. Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I've said that often. I mean, the idea of comparing a baby to an adult makes about as much sense as comparing a dog to an adult. I mean, there's just your different lever arms, different neuromuscular development, different physiological development, biomechanics. Everything. It's not to say that we shouldn't look to be mobile and to be able to squat and be able to perform activities, but to make a direct comparison and say, well, we could as babies, so there must be something wrong with us as adults is entirely absurd.
Okay, we'll come back to this at some point. This isn't really continue. I just wanted to get initial thoughts.
No, I did. I pretty much agreed with what he was saying and his arguments for it. But I don't think that it's necessarily wrong to try to to just assume that everyone should be able to squat like a baby, I think is an absurdity. We have to take the individual as an individual and determine based on that individual what the potential of their
function. Sure, we'll hit on this later.
Yeah. All right. But anyway, so that was probably the most overreaching kind of thing that I developed this year, was just that not only greater appreciation for the evidence, because I would like to say that I had one before, but that the more that you exercise that approach, the more comfortable you will feel and the more important it will become to you.
All right, cool. I think the next one that I will bring up is training wise. I think that's something we can probably both hit on, but you know, for me personally, trying to figure out, and I kind of looked at this, I've been lifting for 10 years now, which almost doesn't really seem that long.
Right.
But as I kind of get to that 10-year mark, I've found that I've discovered what I like to do when I lift and I think when I train. And I don't think we can ever undervalue the importance of finding something that you like to do to make sure that when you do it at a high level, and you're not just like going into the gym and being like, oh shit, you know what? I don't want to front squat today. You know, some people go like, some people wake up in the morning and they really like get aroused to go do front squats. And that's just, that's just not me. And I've run into like low back issues and I have terrible terrible hip stability, and I've just run into too many problems because I sit at the desk a lot. I do a lot of work for what we're doing with Body by Boyle Online and MBSC Thrive. Like half of my work life is turned into a desk job, but the other half is coaching and you know, personal training and lifting. So I have to kind of like make those trade-offs and decide, you know, am I going to want to go into the gym and do front squats because everyone else is doing them? Or am I going to do something like rear foot elevated split squats? Maybe I'll do some walking lunges or maybe some front squat reverse lunges where I can lower the load a little bit and I can still get like the next day, if I really feel like I want to have that, oh my God, my ass hurts so much, I can barely walk feeling, I can have it. So I think that's something that people really need to sit down and think about before they go into their programming for 2013. Have an idea of like really what's fun in the gym and not just jump into a program because you're like, oh, I'll just do this program. Or, oh, I've been doing this forever, I'll just keep doing it. You know, even if it's like, shit, if you want to do curls 10 minutes after you've been lifting for 45 minutes, do some curls. Come on,
guys. Man.
Like, or do like, even if you have no low back problems, you want to do some, like do some abs, like the what's that guy from the Jersey Shore? The Situation. If you want to be like, if you want to do his ab workout, you know, do like the 2 sets of 10, something like 2 sets of 12, get in some abs.
Or you could just rub some mud on your stomach like I did and make it look like you have abs.
Yeah. So, again, a lot of this is like overreaching, and I'm sure people like Kevin, some people do sit ups, and that's not what I'm saying. Like, it's, and again, you know what? On the, that's going to be my third one. I'm changing my third one. But, so yeah, again, refining my exercises to make sure, like, I don't bench anymore. I benched the other day, again, after not benching for a while, and now my pec, like, my right pec hurts like hell. Like, it's, it literally, like, my pec minor is in rough shape, and I just know that I get a lot more out of just doing my dumbbell bench work and push-ups and stuff like that, and I just don't need to get in and do the heavy bench stuff anymore. It's just not going to be my bag, baby. So I think, again, one thing that should be considered going into 2013, find what you like to do in the gym. Make sure it's super sound and it has good structure to it. If you need help, go get it from, you know, whether it be a book or a training program. And as much as people say, like, yeah, if you change our program, it's not our program anymore. You know what? If you want to make changes to the program, you paid for it. You can do whatever you want to it. Just make sure if you are going to make changes, try to keep it in the same realm of the same movement patterns of that exercise that was already in there. So you're going to be kind of keeping it within the margin for error before going kind of over the cliff.
I like what you just said. And my second one is probably very similar in concept. Being in Saudi has been interesting for my strength training because the gym that I have is pretty lousy. There's no squat rack. The dumbbells only go up to like 90 pounds, something like this. So it makes working out a little bit more challenging because I don't have all the toys that I might have in a well-stocked gym otherwise. And this year especially, I've gotten far more into these kind of not only body weight, because I've been doing body weight here for a while, but more the almost gymnastic kind of body weight exercises, the front levers, training a planche, flags, things like this. And it's been eye-opening. I mean, they are terribly challenging exercises and they're terribly humbling exercises. You don't do a planche until you can planche. You can do things to train the planche, but you don't do it unless you do it. So in that sense, it's almost like that quote unquote self-limiting exercise. And I've not only have I really enjoyed it, but it's also kind of shown me that idea that, you know, we might talk about squats and deadlifts and we do so because we think that these are effective exercises and that they can be they can give a great potential for your input to output, input to outcome type of thing. You know, you get a lot out of it. But there are other kinds of exercises that not only can be very satisfying and be very challenging, but also very rewarding. So kind of like what you were saying there. I've absolutely loved training these kinds of exercises. They feel really good. And when you get it right, you know, the first time you hold that front lever for instance, it feels amazing and it's such a great accomplishment. And I've enjoyed just adding to that overall repertoire of what I can do in the gym, the kind of focus that I'm trying to get, the kind of results that I'm trying to get. And I'm very happy to say that in some ways I'm stronger than I've ever been before, even though
I'm very limited in the type of approach that I can use there. So I think that overall, that idea of try out some new things, you know, people all the time say, you know what, I just don't like weightlifting. It's boring to me. Then you know what, try something else. Don't, you know, try something else that will hopefully give you the same type of benefits, but something that you enjoy doing and something that will encourage you to go back. Because even if all of us, and I do this too, I kind of poo-poo on stuff that I don't think is going to be effective, or I think that is almost like a waste of time. But the bottom line is, it's better that you're in the gym than if you're not in the gym. So if you're trying to make yourself squat and deadlift and do all these things that maybe you don't find terribly interesting, then try to figure out what the benefits are to these exercises, why people think that these are good exercises, and see if you can derive a benefit by doing something that you do enjoy. So even when I come home eventually, when I'm done in Saudi, I think that I will probably incorporate a certain amount of this type of training into my training for quite a while, because I really do enjoy being able to do some of these physically demanding body weight type of exercises. And I think I probably always will. And it's made going to the gym really fun again.
Yeah, no, it's great stuff. And I think, again, maybe we're both getting to that age where it's, you know, kind of finding what makes it fun to keep going into the gym, especially with us when we kind of live in the gym every day. So,
yeah,
you know, making sure you can spice it up. And I think that's why it's great if you can even find a facility that has tons of toys, whether no matter what you think about the stuff like ropes and you know, sleds and things like that.
Great fun.
Totally. Like,
I don't mean to cut you off, but no. I think you bring up a good point, because the idea, you know, there's a very large contingent of weightlifters or even coaches or trainers that talk about, you know, gym ADD and these people going to the gym and they don't even stick to one thing. Who cares? If they're going to the gym all the time, let them be. Now, if they're looking for a specific goal and they're not reaching that goal because they're not consistent enough with the type of training necessary, that's one thing. But for people to go into the gym and say, you know what, today I think I'm going to do a Met circuit and tomorrow I think I'm going to lift heavy, and who cares? Let them be. Let them enjoy it, because I'd rather someone do that than think that they must work out a certain way because a certain coach told them they had to. Everyone's goals are their own. And although most of us are very happy to be leaner, to be stronger, or whatever, those are your goals. And if you enjoy going to the gym and picking up a couple dumbbells, and as long as you're being safe, playing with them, go for it. Absolutely go for it. And if you're happy and you look forward to going to the gym every time, and you're healthier because of it, and you're stronger because of it, and whatever that way that you approach that, go for it.
Cool. I kind of have like a 3A and a 3B, but because one just kind of popped up as I was talking about that last thing. But yeah, not to like, again, continue agreeing with each other, but I think that is one of the, I think if you're a fitness professional out there and you listen to this show, I want you to try, as you go into 2013, to not get mad about what other people are doing.
Yeah,
And I want you to, when you see stuff, post it on Facebook. If you don't like how people are running their business or how they're running their professional life, don't worry about it. Do what you do. And this came up, and Mike Boyle talked about it in a blog post, but this came up in like one of our staff meetings, you know, about fitness professionals who are like the computer professionals or whatever and stuff like that. And, you know, there are some people out there that do make a living at a computer. I'm biased. I make half my living at a computer these days, but it's because I have certain skills that allow me to do that. But, you know, I'm also in the gym for 20 hours a week too. Like, I'm not going to say I'm the coach that's working 60 hours a week and, you know, driving my athletes to every one of their games and stuff like that. I can't do that with my time commitments that I have elsewhere. But I think nothing makes me just like shake my head more than to have people you know, just get mad at what other people are doing because they, you know, may be making money before they've put in the hours or stuff like that. But unfortunately, that's kind of the way this industry has gone. And it's not going to benefit you to worry about that stuff. Just do what you do. Do it great. Continue to do it great because so many people out there are doing awesome stuff that no one will ever hear about. They're changing people's lives in a gym every single day, and we'll never hear about this. There won't be a blog post about it. There won't be a podcast. There won't be an ebook about it. But people are literally changing other people's lives, sometimes saving their lives. And we won't hear about it, and you guys won't hear about it. But if you're one of those people doing that, just keep doing it. And if you're happy that way and you're happy with how life is, don't worry about all this noise and all this like online bickering and crap like that, because it's just like it's tired. It's old. I don't want to hear about it. I don't get in discussions with people about this anymore. If people are like, man, did you see so-and-so's new like program online, their ebook? It's okay.
Right.
It's going to be okay. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to use it. If people want to buy their program, that's awesome. That means they get to put food on the table and they get to pay for their apartment or their house. It's great. Mm-hmm. We all win. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I agree completely. And I think to add to that, it's okay to disagree with people. Let's try as a community to learn how to disagree critically instead of just calling someone an asshole or something like that. I mean, it does not help us as a field to fight against each other like that. There are clearly people that we can't stand in the industry. There are clearly people that we think peddle lies and sell broken promises to people. Tracy Anderson and, you know, things like this. But let's, as a group, be professional about it. Let's find out how to argue, how to be critical, know your facts and your information. Don't rely on guru talk. Rely on facts, rely on the evidence and the things that we do understand and know, so that when someone asks you, what do you think of the Tracy Anderson method, you can say something more intelligent than just, she's an idiot. You know, let's find out the ways that we can convince a population to trust us over others, because right now, as professionals or as people that are very, you know, that are self-educated, you know, trainees and people that take their health seriously, we are fighting what, quote unquote, the good fight. We're trying to rise above the nonsense that's peddled in the industry. And the only way, in my opinion, that we do that convincingly is when we demonstrate the fact that we do understand more than the people that we're talking about otherwise. Tracy Anderson couldn't hold a candle to a majority of people in our industry because she doesn't know anything. But what she has over us is she can speak her dogma. She has outlets and she sounds convincing and people are convinced by her. But she talks
the language that people want to hear, you know?
Exactly.
Like it makes sense to them. And I think that's, you know, that's one of the things that we've been trying to do on the show.
Exactly.
And that we talk about a lot is, you know, even if you have like an athlete or a client, they don't care if you're going to talk about, oh yeah, we want to get like more activation from your glute med because it's going to help you stabilize your hip and that will make you balance, you become better. They don't care. It's like, oh yeah, no, just bend your knee a little bit and make sure your knee doesn't cave in.
Exactly.
That's all they want to hear.
Exactly. So know your information and know how to convey that information to others. Know how to be critical and professional without sounding like you're just a bitter about someone else's success. You know, I'm not bitter about Tracy Anderson's success. I'm bitter that she lies to people to get it.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So I think that's something very important that I think that we just really need to understand as a community. It's not anything personal.
Well, I think it's more of like, you know? my like bookend to this is just calm down. Just everyone chill out.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's okay. Everyone's making money. Like,
right. Who cares?
No one's out of the job. If you're in this profession, you're not doing it right if you can't make money, because there is lots of people out there that want to lose fat or get stronger and stuff like that. And you can get a job at a gym and you can make, you know, almost as many hours as you want to do. Yeah. You know, you just got to be willing to work your butt off for it and get in the right positions to do it. Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what do you got for, do you have a number three?
I do have a number three, and my number three is really not only is the importance of nutrition, which is a no-brainer because we all understand that, but personally this year, what I found almost astounding was how those small, tiny little changes can have such a large effect. I'd like to think that I'm reasonably knowledgeable about nutrition, that I can, you know, attain a slender build if I really go at it. And this year, my ex-girlfriend got Lyme's disease. I think I talked about that. And she had to go on a very strict anti-inflammatory diet. And at the time, she really, I mean, she doesn't, she's a skinny girl. She doesn't like to diet. And I told her, look, you've got to do this. I'll do this with you. However you eat, I will eat the same way. And then that way I could support her. And eating the way that she was eating was practically the same. I mean, I barely changed anything. And yet the tiniest little changes, maybe I didn't have a, you know, a piece of dessert at some point, or I, you know, changed what I was drinking to just pure water, whatever changes I made, which were just, I can't even think of what I did. I ended up losing almost 10 pounds. And those are 10 pounds that I've been carrying with me for at least a year, year and a half, to the point where I thought, well, because of my food restrictions in Saudi Arabia and just the lifestyle and how we travel all the time, I just won't, you know, this is what I'm going to be like until I come home. And I was shocked because I wasn't trying to do anything but basically support, you know, my ex-girlfriend while she was going through a required diet. And it really showed me just these, you know, how little it takes sometimes in order to get it right. And the impact of really at, you know, sometimes taking a very critical look at what you're doing if you're not getting your results, and it can be just that extra bite of Nutella at the end of the night that makes all the difference in the world. And I was amazed by the differences that I saw. And because of that, it really, you know, before I think, I mean, again, this N equals one, my experience is not someone else's, but it was incredible to me that such a small difference could make such a large difference in the end.
Good call. Kind of relates to my 3B, or what was my initial three.
Sweet.
And that's knowing your flaws as a person, and taking some time to reflect on them and trying to get a game plan on how to address them. And that's something that, you know, I'm going to be opening up with in the coming year, talking a lot about it on the website, talking a lot about it in podcasts. People have been seeing some of this stuff on Facebook. But to kind of give you some brief idea of what this is about. One, I got rid of a lot of stuff, in a lot of, material stuff this last month or so.
Yeah, you went all zen.
Much so, but I still am. I'm kind of like, okay, to give you a little bit of story, you guys know I'd like talked about arcade machines a lot. I get really jazzed up about that. I have no arcade machines anymore. I got rid of, I think about 80 video games that I just kind of had sitting there. And two of the initial flaws that I've found is that, one, I'm kind of a material person. I like to buy stuff and I like to own stuff. And I know, you know, in doing so, I have lots of distractions around me. And distractions stress me out. Having options stresses me out. I'm a person that is much happier having fewer options, and almost like for example, I liked living in a dorm because everything was very close to one another. I wasn't able to have a lot of stuff. Very few options on things to do. In that sense, having, you know, a shelf of 200 video games to look at, and that's something I like to, you know, it's part of my childhood. It's something that it's one of my hobbies. It's very stressful for me, even if it's not even right in front of me. I don't know what the word that I'm looking for, but just in my periphery, it is, you know, one of those stressors that's kind of around me. mm-hmm. at all times, even if I'm not directly thinking about it. So that's one step that I took is that I started getting rid of lots of stuff, lots of things that I just needed to let go of so I didn't have to worry about them anymore. And it's not the case where if I really needed something, I could always get it back again. Like, you know, if I ever needed a PlayStation 2, I could find one. Like, it's not it's not the end of the world. And like I said, I talk about in the off-topic discussion, I've been just doing, like, if I ever play games, like, I try to limit it to 30 minutes, like, every other day at night before I do my reading. And I do it on, like, a portable system so I don't have to get stressed out about, like, you know, turning on my PlayStation 3 and, like, worrying about, like, what am I going to play? Because I have so many things. I just don't have time to play this stuff anymore, but I still buy the stuff.
Right.
And then I get, you know, I just get mad that I don't, you know, have time to play it. So, that's one of the flaws that I've found that I had. And again, I'm going to be writing some more about that and talking a little bit more about that down the road. And it's a lot worse than I'm making it sound. Like, it's one of those things that has really helped me, and I'm only in the first stage. Like, I still need to get rid of a lot of stuff. I just need to have a more barren living space, just because that's how my mind works, because it's ADD. And the other thing, one of the other flaws is that, you know, I've talked with John about this a lot in the past, and this is a little bit on the personal side, but you know what? It's the internet. It's a podcast, so I can talk about it. But the, you know, one of the flaws that I know I've had is that I've always been able to go into the gym, train really, really hard. I love training hard. It's almost to a detriment where I don't deload as much as I should or take rest when I should. But I know that one of my flaws is still nailing down, not the nutrition side of things, but, almost like portion control and control over, you know, not necessarily scheduling out what you eat, but how much you eat and making sure that you don't allow yourself to get to a point where you get so hungry where you overeat. And that's one of the things that I'm going to be talking a lot about going into, you know, January and stuff like that, is how to address that and to deal with it. And one of the there's someone that I'm going to get on the show, and she's dealt with it in the past, and I'm going to be kind of reaching out for her for some help. But I think, again, it's one of those things that not only that I think a lot of people in the audience deals with. It's what a lot of people want to try to get into quote shape. So you know, trying to, again, get back into my fighting shape where I'm not obviously in right now, being the transitioning from desk and going to Japan for 10 days and eating tons of Japanese food, and then Christmas and Thanksgiving and such things like that. So again, first thing is trying to identify the flaw and then addressing it. So we'll talk a little bit about how I'm addressing that. And hopefully you guys can get some stuff out of it and allow it to benefit you as well. So again, a lot of stuff going on there, but hopefully it will lead to a lot of cool stuff going into 2013 for you guys for content and stuff like that. And it won't be a thing where I talk about it and it won't happen. It will happen. I've already gotten a bunch of blog posts written up on my laptop in the last couple of days. Oh, I've been on vacation, so there's some cool stuff that you guys can start reading, and hopefully we can start discussions on it.
Sweet.
Where are we at for time?
38
minutes.
Okay.
Do you want to do anything else?
So it's your call, homie.
Do you have any predictions for 2013?
I will be elected to Congress. I will be married, and I will have my first child.
We're getting a puppy.
Oh, yeah? Cool.
Yeah, my parents are getting another dog.
Very cool.
That's a prediction I have.
I will also finally have my growth spurt.
Yeah, that should be good.
That should be good.
I think 2013 is not going to be super different. A lot of people wanted us to give predictions for, like, diet fads and stuff like that, and you never know the fad until people latch onto it. You can't really predict that stuff. I think CrossFit is going to get bigger before it starts getting smaller.
I don't know that it'll ever go away.
Well,
I'm not sure that it will, because they get results. Well, they do.
They've been getting results, but I think their relationship with Reebok is somewhat rocky. So
maybe. But I think it'll always be. It'll probably die down, but I don't think it'll ever go away, and I'm okay with that. I don't.
Well, I don't think it's going to reach like the body pump level. I don't think you're going to see it as like a group exercise stuff, because it is something that has to almost be its own specific gym and area.
Right.
But I think it's something that will be, you know, continuing to grow before it's going to get bigger before it starts getting small. I think just like, I don't know if I would relate it to circuit training and stuff like that, but maybe it will kind of get really, really hot before it cools down, obviously. Yeah. Has to. But has there been anyone that's really influenced you in 2012?
Yes and no. I am going to say Daryl Huff as a representative of a lot of what has influenced me in 2012. And Daryl Huff actually wrote the 1954 classic How to Lie with Statistics. And the reason why I bring that up is, again, it's kind of relating back to what we first were talking about. But we look for people to influence us within the realm. So we think, you know, strength coach or nutritionist or whatever, but health and fitness is such a large, large field that you can have an incredible number of different influences from different areas, psychology and philosophy and wherever that may come from, and have it greatly affect the way that you look at your training and the way that you look at working with your clients or working with yourself and your friends or whatever your particular case is. So that, as a representative of all, you know, getting deeper into statistics and getting deeper into, you know, analyzing science and things like this, I think that that's probably been the most influential. So for all of the authors that I've read this year that's related to that, I'm taking How to Lie with Statistics, because I think everyone in the audience should read that book.
I don't think I have any one person, but I will say from the stuff that I've kind of consumed in terms of content, I will bring up again, I think, you know, using not as a joking matter, The Rock, I think, has been someone who's kind of influenced me. Seeing his kind of path and learning about his history has been pretty interesting.
He's a beast this year, by the way. He's a beast.
He's gigantic. Pain and Gain is going to be great. So I think that's one of them. And I don't know. It's hard because I want to pick someone that I've interviewed, but it's just, there's so many, like, I almost go away every single time where I'm like, man, that's just like, it's so good. I don't know what to pick out specifically, and I don't think that I will. Maybe that's something I need to do, is find a new mentor for 2013.
But you know what though, I think that that's okay. I mean, I don't always necessarily want to paint myself as the anti-guru, so to speak. But I really do think that it's important that we don't get fanatical over people. I mean, mentor is one thing, and I agree with you. And it's always, it can be very beneficial to have someone that can mentor you. But a mentor, in my opinion, is someone that shows you the path, doesn't show you how to walk down it. You know what I mean? And I think that a lot of people do they want someone to show them how to walk. And that's not what a mentor is supposed to be. A mentor just guides. And in our industry, especially with the internet and what podcasts and whatever, people latch on to every word that someone says. And I think that that's a negative thing. So I don't know that it's a bad thing that you can't really choose someone this year that has heavily influenced you, because I don't know that we really should have that. I can do that in my life, but this year, I'm with you. I don't know that anyone has so greatly influenced me that I hung on every word and thought that everything they said was golden at all.
On that note, just going back backwards a little bit, I do think one thing that will be super interesting going into 2013 will be the influence of Postural Restoration Institute on what we do at MBSC, and not to toot the horn too much, but a lot of the times we kind of do stuff at MBSC and a lot of people adopt that.
Of course.
And I think that the stuff that they're doing, and if we can find a way to adopt it into our system and to get it the benefits of what they do with their breathing techniques, it could be really big, because just doing some of the PRI stuff on my own, I found some huge benefits. Like my cleaning technique has literally improved just from doing the breathing techniques. I'm able to get in better finishing position. So I think that will be interesting. And we do have three seminars.
Well, Kevin, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because the first episode of 2013 for The Strength of Evidence will be looking at that.
Well, have you guys seen any of it?
It's not about seeing it. It's about looking at – yeah. But listen to it this way. Normally our episode will be somewhere between like 5, maybe upwards of 10 studies. We had 67 studies to look at, and we're even narrowing that down as an inclusion-exclusion criteria. We're still at 30. So it's going to be a monster episode.
What's your mindset going into it?
Mindset going into it, my initial bias is that I'm skeptical.
Of course you are.
Yeah. I'm skeptical.
I would almost, and again, not to like smash, by the way, don't subscribe to their podcast, but I think that is might be the problem. If we're talking, maybe we should talk about this off the air, but
yeah.
I think that's one of my issues that I almost have with what you and Brett are doing, is I almost feel like there is almost going into it, there's always some kind of like negativity.
No, it's not negative. It's just saying that if there's a claim made, then you must be skeptical until there's evidence to support that claim. And there's, and, well, and not to say
one thing
this,
that you guys should do, and I will, if you guys need it, I will, well, you have, you're a member of Body by Boy Online. I want you to go and I want you to watch the 4.5 hours of talks that they did at our facility, and use that as some evidence as well. So you can kind of see it in action.
Oh, we have it. We have their papers. We're using that.
I know, but I want you to watch the video.
Yeah, but the video is just someone talking about what they believe. That's not evidence.
No, it's actually taking people through the drills and the breathing exercise and things like that. So you can get at least a better idea of where some of these guys are coming from.
Kev, I'm a physical therapist. I had an entire class on cardiopulmonary. I know what they're doing. The question is,
then why don't you do me a favor and do some homework, watch it for 3.5 hours, even fast forward through some stuff. And all I'm just saying is I'm giving this to you guys. I'm submitting this as evidence to the court. If you are going to have you understand, I'm not trying to be a dick about this. If you're going to talk about this stuff, a lot of people are going to say, well, you guys have never even seen anyone present on this stuff, or you've never gone through the certification.
The argument, that's clearly you don't need to do that, but the argument is this. It's you don't need to go through a certification to understand what they're saying.
I know, I'm saying if people don't give you that feedback, I'm going to give you that feedback. I'm going to say if you guys haven't seen this in practice,
right,
and you're just reading papers.
I've seen diaphragmatic breathing, Kev.
I know.
We've seen crocodile breathing and diaphragmatic breathing.
I know, we've seen it for years when we had, you know, the Pavel stuff too, and like he's hit on that, like Neil Ramke, or I forget what his name, who came to Crest, he's talked a lot about that. I think it's still something that, check out the drills that they're doing and the benefits that we saw from it. And
Kev, let me ask you, have you ever seen the like the infomercials on the magnetic bracelets?
Sure.
Do you believe that magnetic bracelets work?
Of course they do.
Right.
Just like fighting necklaces.
Right. And you see the evidence that they present. They show you that by wearing these magnetic bracelets, you become stronger, your balance becomes better, you become more mobile. So why don't you believe that?
Well, all I would ask is that you at least just kind of get an idea of, again, their mindset and how they're presenting the information.
They did in a paper, and that's what we're taking. It's not a matter of saying, because you know what? I could wear a magnetic bracelet and think that I'm performing better, and I might actually do it. It's a placebo effect. All we're looking at is there any evidence to support the argument that they're making? It doesn't mean, because there are benefits to breathing. So, and improving.
No, again, we don't have to go through this, but it's not just diaphragmatic breathing. It's not the only thing.
Right, it's a whole postural thing. But if we're doing posture, then I've got another like 10, 15 papers at least that show that posture doesn't.
Okay, no, I agree. And I'm not one of those people that, you know, says since our liver's on one side of our body, that means we have to do extra reps. I'm not.
Right.
Oh, my phone's ringing. So, all right, let's couch this crap because I'm not getting in an argument on effing New Year's Eve Eve. So, you know what? I do want to wrap this up real quick. And sincerely, I didn't really get to do it last episode, but sincere thank you. We did hit 250 episodes.
Yes.
It is a huge thank you goes out to not only John and Lee and the other hosts that we've had on in the past, like, you know, Tony, Keith Scott and such. I really need to thank you guys, the listeners, the people that subscribe, the people that like buy t-shirts or the people that, check out blog posts or they buy products through the website and they help, like, again, bandwidth is not cheap.
No, it's not.
That was one of the reasons why we kind of like reconsidered, what to do going down the road because, you know, spending, you know, $450 a year is not, you know, just extra money that I have that falls out of the sky. It's still, you know, paying for the website and the bandwidth and stuff. So I think, again, I need to thank you guys for supporting the website by buying, you know, products through the website and downloading through the iTunes and submitting reviews on iTunes. And one thing that I'm going to promise you is that we bring it into 2013, and it's not going to be going anywhere. If we ever do retire the show, it won't be till episode 252. So we're going to bring it in at least one more time and before we wrap this thing up. But we do have some stiff competition right now with the Strength of Evidence podcast, Strength Coach podcast. Nice. And Lee is spurring off to do her own podcast. So we do have more competition. The more competition, the better products for free. All right. So thanks, guys. You are the best. Stick around for about a 20-minute off-topic discussion where John and I talk about our movies of the year, some cool TV retrospective stuff, talking about Homeland. There's no spoiler talk in any of the things that we go into, so you can feel comfortable going in to listen to it. Again, thanks, everyone. Have a great New Year's, and get ready. Make sure to check out thefitcast.com for updates for episodes. Check out iTunes. Make sure to submit a review if you haven't already. Again, John, I'm glad that you're in the States. I hope you have a great New Year as well.
You, sir. You too, man.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great New Year's again. See you. We're in the off-topic discussion. Jonathan Fast is with me.
Yep. It from America, from the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Yeah. So we got a couple things to talk about. And the one thing that I will make sure is that we don't spoil any of the movies and TV shows that we talk about. It will be very loosely talked about. I'm ready to give my nominees for Game of the Year. And for movie of the year, though, as well.
Okay. And I have seen quite a number of movies this year. I may be able to weigh in.
I've just been pounding up. Like, we've kind of had, like, this week off from group, so I've had his personal training. And I've been dominating on Amazon. Going, I watched the Bourne Legacy, which was pretty decent.
Expendables, I saw it, too.
What'd you think?
I thought it was the weakest of the four, probably.
Sure.
but only because I liked it, but I thought that it was probably more...
I like the story better, to be honest.
Really? See, now I thought the story was a little weaker. It wasn't as compelling. It wasn't as involving.
Well, one thing that we can say, and that's not really... it was part of the trailers, is it kind of takes place during the third Bourne movie.
Yes. Well, second and third, right?
No, it's only the third.
Is it only the third? I thought there was like a piece off the second, because it didn't the very beginning start before he got into New York?
Where that was I didn't really like the first three Bourne movies a lot. Like, I just like, okay. I would watch them, but I wasn't like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Right. The first one was great. The second one I thought was great. And the third one was a little bit less.
Sure.
I thought, yeah.
Sure. I think it was like $1.99 rental, so I'm like, I will it diverted my attention for an hour and a half.
Right.
Did we talk about my trip to Japan? I think we did.
No.
Well, I'm back from Japan.
Yes, you are.
I'm
back from Jordan and Qatar.
Well, I was gonna talk. One thing I want to talk to you about. We'll get to it in a second, but the other thing that I saw last night that I watched was Expendables 2.
Saw that too.
Surprisingly good.
It was fun.
It was totally fun. Yeah. And it was like, it was corny as shit.
Absolutely.
But it was like...
Absolutely.
It was like CG blood, like dudes... It was like Rambo, like the new Rambo, the latest one where it was just like called Rambo, where like dudes are just like getting chopped in half with 50 cal shots and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Really, really, you know, again, it was just like, I like the thing is like, I was seeing, or I've seen people like post on Facebook when I was out in the theaters about, oh, yeah, you know, it's not, you know, it's not that good. It's, and I'm like, you know what, there's the people who are in it are people who I like to kind of hang out with in a movie. Like I like to hang out with Stallone, like Schwarzenegger, Bruce Willis is great. You know, Statham, obviously. What's up? So, again, it's like it's a cast, and it was cool that they're able to get everyone, give everyone something to do, and it was a good ride.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I wanted to mention was I also blasted through two seasons of Homeland over like 3 days during New Year's.
I'm on the final episode of the second season.
Well, I was going to ask you. Like, that's, again, it's an interesting...
I haven't seen the final episode, so don't blow it
for me. I thought season two was terrible, so I didn't really like
really?
It. Really? Yeah, I thought it was... I thought the first three episodes were good, and I thought it kind of fell off after that, and hopefully, like, they could actually... I mentioned this on Facebook, and a lot of people seem to agree. The main lead, Carrie, she has... She's bipolar, which, again, is something you find out the very first episode. It's not, like, a surprise, but... she literally cries every episode, and she is just like, I like a good strong female lead, and I just wish that after she, you know, gets her medication and stuff all set, that she should be able to cope it within her job. And if she worked for the CIA and she was that screwed up, they would not let her near anything that they're doing, no matter how good she is at her job, because she would be way too big of a liability. I just think that would it like made me like belief would just kind of went out the window. And
they do take a lot of liberties.
But the first season was great because they did not like it was very based in reality. They use a lot of the same techniques that they use to like. Track terrorists in when they if you're kind of like looking at the whole what is it called like zero down what's that thing the Bin Laden movie that's coming out Zero Dark 40 or something like that and I think the I don't know again I hope they change it up a little bit because Saul, who is like the best character on that show, needs to be on the screen more.
Now, for sure. Now, what's interesting for me, the bad guy is Abu Nazir. And in Arabic, that literally means father of Nazir. So it's a nickname. Your name is, you know, Jonathan, son of Alan, but my nickname would be father of Kevin, you know, whatever, whoever my firstborn son is. So that's not his actual name. His actual name would be something entirely different. It's a very common thing, though, that you call someone Abu whoever. Mm. But if you watch in the show, they'll literally call him Nazir, and that's not his name, and that's not accurate. And it's very strange. There are little details like that. It is. It is weird because there are little details. They fact check everything. There are so many things that they do that are accurate, and then there's every once in a while there's something that makes no sense like that. That's a weird thing.
Well, I think, you know, again, I was really interested to kind of get your take on it because you're living in the Middle East.
Right.
And again, it's like, I mean, we're even seeing like stories in the, I don't know if you saw that story in New York, but there's still severe, you know, racism in America for Middle Eastern people to a certain extent, right. You know, in the, that certain subset that plays a big part in the show.
Yeah.
And it's like in 24, like you watch 24 and they kind of like played off the same thing. But I would always be fascinated to have someone from, you know, the Middle East watch something like Homeland and, you know, get their opinion, whether they could actually enjoy the show, or it'd be like if, you know, we were watching almost like a propaganda show that was anti-American, even though it's not anti-Middle East and it's not anti-Muslim or anything like that. If anything, it kind of like, you know, again, tries to bring up the whole idea of religion and, you know, how we should all be very open and accepting to different forms of religion and beliefs.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, from what I can tell, I think that they do a pretty decent job of demonstrating the differences between a fanatic extremist versus the general, you know, the overreaching population of, you know, Muslims and the religion itself. I've actually been pretty impressed with how they've done that. But what's been interesting, like even that there was the one episode where the kids in one of the main protagonist daughter's class were having this discussion, and one of them was very anti-Muslim, and she came and defended Islam for that reason, and I thought that was kind of interesting too. I think that it's been probably pretty reasonable in that sense, other than the fact that the enemy is an Islamist terrorist. You know what I mean? So that's in and of itself. But I think that it's been pretty decent. I mean, the way that they show the prayer and the rituals and the respect you have for Quran and the things like this, that has been interesting to me.
That's cool. Well, I think I think people should definitely check it out. It was I picked up the first season on Amazon. It was on sale for like $10 for the season digitally on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, and I just ended up buying the second season on Amazon too. Mm-hmm. It's worth checking out, but it's like one of those shows that towards the end I just did not give a crap. It's like really bad because first season was so good. I was like, I literally stayed up till 3 a.m. finishing the first season because I couldn't. I'm like, no, one more. And I haven't had that real feeling in a show since like maybe The West Wing when I did that last, probably in February or March of this year. So, well, that's cool. And also for people out there, it's only two more episodes of Fringe left. Three more episodes. Final three episodes start next week. Fringe. So, if you can believe that.
I can't believe it, man.
And I think that's pretty much all I had for movies. I did see Lincoln in the theater. That was kind of a random, ran out to the movies opening weekend and saw Lincoln. I thought that was pretty good.
Was it? Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
Like, it was, well, I'm trying to hold it. It was really, really good. Like, everyone should see it. And it's one of those things that kind of gives you a reminder. I mean, and we can't be reminded of this enough. You know, even how messed up things are today in our country, how there's still, you know, lots of division. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just the same thing 150 years ago. And again, you kind of look back and we're almost fighting over the same stuff. But I think the thing that might be more interesting for people who aren't kind of read up on, or they don't remember their history from middle school or whatever, is that, you know, back in the day, it was the Republicans that were fighting for all these rights and freedoms and things like that. And someone looking at politics today, I mean, a lot of the left-wing people will say it's almost a flip-flop, which is very interesting.
The political parties did a massive switch.
Yeah, which is, again, it's one of those things that it's a really good history lesson. Spielberg did a great job with it. You will cry a couple times. You will tear up a little bit. Check it out. So to the big things that we have to go over, Game of the Year, which is a big thing on the FitCast. It's something that I know people kind of are waiting to download the show right now to get my Game of the Year nominees, my top three, and my official Game of the Year. So are you ready, John?
I'm ready, man.
Okay, so first the top three, and then I will announce the Game of the Year. First off, Persona 4 Golden. For the PlayStation Vita, which I don't play. This is a role-playing game, which I never play. I haven't played them since like Super Nintendo days. But
yeah, you don't.
I got a PlayStation Vita, and I put 52 hours into a game called Persona 3 Portable.
Hmm.
And that's a PSP game, but you can download it or whatever and put it on there. It's very Japanese. It's involves a bunch of high school students like fighting these shadows and stuff like that. It's got a crazy story, fantastic music, and then Persona 4 came out literally the day that I flew out to Japan, but I was lucky enough to download it while I was in Japan. I could download it onto my Vita and play it at night and on the way back. So that is fantastic. Also a thinking game, Spec Ops The Line. Have you heard of this one, John?
I don't think so.
It's it deals with a lot of like post-traumatic stress disorder type stuff with soldiers. Like, it's very serious material.
Okay.
It's not your standard Call of Duty, and the story is very, very interesting. It's really kind of makes you again think about your actions in a game, and it's really turned me off from playing anything where I'm shooting people.
Uh-huh.
Like, I have no interest in playing shooting games right now, which is kind of a bummer I finished it like a week after the whole Connecticut school shooting, and it's just like, it was a perfect storm of just not feeling good about that stuff.
Yeah, of course.
So that was number two. And then number three, this is a tough one because I barely played any video games this year. But it's Sleeping Dogs would be number three.
The hell is that?
It's a fantastic game. It's available for PlayStation 3. It's kind of like, it's almost like a spiritual successor to the True Crime series, but it takes place in Hong Kong.
Okay.
And you kind of go, you're a Chinese American who goes back to China, but goes undercover in this Chinese gang. And you end up working with like a lot of these people that you grew up with who ended up going back into these gangs, but you're kind of there to, again, go undercover. But then you become so undercover, it's like one of those things where, you know, you kind of almost want the bad guys to win because they're your friends, and you kind of grow this bond with the characters.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, again, that's one of those. And it had lots of stuff in there to make you not want to run people over. So there's, obviously, you're playing as a cop, so you're kind of encouraged to not kill innocent people.
Mm-hmm.
So that is number three. And again, I'm going to think the combination of Persona 3 and Persona 4 totally wins it, because I don't touch my PlayStation 3 anymore. I literally, if I have time to play video games, it's like 30 minutes at night, and I play it on my PlayStation Vita before reading 30 minutes and going to bed.
Right.
And that's, dude, it's totally the way to live. Like, I have no interest in the new consoles and stuff. I'm really just looking forward to kind of like what's going to come on the Vita. So no, I don't know. That's the award.
There you go. We will send out in the mail to their respective winners, their awards.
Movies that you have?
God, that's tough. Let me see. I don't know. There have been a few really, really good films I saw this year for sure. I remember thinking that, and I just can't think of which ones they were. I can tell you which ones, like Dark Knight Rises was a little disappointing for me. It was good, but I didn't get blown away by it. Same thing with Spider-Man. It was good, but I didn't get blown away by it.
The more I look back on it, Spider-Man was super weak.
I know.
Martin Sheen was the only good part of that. Martin Sheen was a boss, and that's about
it. Yeah. Yeah, it was. You know what? The thing with Spider-Man that I kind of wonder is you could tell where the editing took place and that where they were.
Well, we talked about this. There was stuff in the trailers that they took out of the movie,
yeah.
Dude.
So I kind of wonder if that director's cut would be a way better.
But
I can't think of what movies like absolutely like knocked my block off. And there were a few that I walked away from going, wow, that was really good. But I just can't think of what they were, because the problem is I'm wondering if it's like it all blends together for me, because I never see them in the theater anymore because we have no theaters. So I see them on iTunes. So I'm not sure which ones I'm seeing and which ones I'm not seeing.
Yeah. You know, one thing I will, hit on, we're going to talk about this a little bit during the show, but the thing that I want to bring up is if you're into kind of like the WWE or anything like that, there's really, really, really good DVD/Blu-rays on Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock, and I mean this serious. Like they talk about like the storylines, and they don't try to make it as like these fights are real. They talk about a lot of the business side of things and the behind the scenes stuff. So if you're interested in kind of like how that stuff works out, I think it would be something worth checking out. But I have not seen Skyfall this year, so I cannot.
Oh, that was a really good one.
And that's what a lot of people are pretty much saying is like the best thing out there. But
yeah, that was a very good one.
Well, hopefully I can. And even Wreck-It Ralph, I heard, was pretty good, but...
Yeah, I didn't see that.
I think one thing that I saw, I thought Cabin in the Woods was all right. That was one of the big ones.
Was that this year, though?
That was this year. Avengers was this year.
Avengers is great.
Actually, to be honest, Avengers is probably my movie of the year.
It's close. I would put it up there as one of the top.
That was the most fun that I had watching a movie this year. I mean, Fast 6 is not till this summer. So I think next year is going to be an awesome, awesome year for movies. I mean, we have, dude, the year starts off with Die Hard.
Yeah.
Which looks fantastic.
Yep.
Fast 6, as much as we joke about Fast and Furious on here.
Last one was good.
But the new one looks just outstanding. Like it looks like it's going to be, like an all-star cast. It's going to be awesome. You have anything else? But that's where I'll rest on that.
No, I'd have to look it up. I can't remember what I saw this year, but those were some good ones.
So we'll wrap it up for 2012.
Let's wrap it up, baby.
In the off-topic discussion. We mentioned it during the initial recording, but especially if you're one of those people that stays and listens after the music to the off-topic stuff, you're our super hardcore fans. Thank you so much for listening for 250 episodes, and hopefully we'll have 250 more. Boing.
Boing.